Hello, and welcome to Profiles, a program that gives us an opportunity to meet people who make a difference in our communities and in our lives. I am your host, Bob Willard, and today our guest is 12-year-old Julian Bliss, an extraordinarily talented clarinet player and student of Howard Klug's at Indiana University. For the next hour or so, we will ask Julian a few questions, play some music, and meet the person behind the persona. Julian, welcome to Profiles.
Thank you.
Julian, let me introduce you to our listeners by mentioning some of your accomplishments. Since he took up the clarinet at age 4, Julian has amazed the music world. He has played for royalty, he has played most of the major concert halls, and here he is, at Indiana University, working on a music degree with students twice his age. But let's get the story from Julian, and let me introduce you to this extraordinary young man. Here you are, 12 years old, and you've been playing the clarinet for over half your life. How did you discover your interest, passion, and talent for the instrument?
Well, I think I must have heard the clarinet on the radio, and I asked my mom if I could play the clarinet, and she said no, because you're too young. And after that, I kept on asking her, and finally she gave me a recorder. And after about 2 weeks, I gave it back and I said, this doesn't make the right sound. I want to play a clarinet. And so I got started on a small clarinet, a plastic clarinet. And I just loved it so much and I wanted to continue.
Now, when you say a small clarinet, was that like a miniature-sized one? Because it would seem to me that your arms weren't long enough to play a regular one.
Well, it was a C clarinet, a lion's C clarinet. It was purely plastic. It didn't weigh very much at all, and a couple of feathers. And it was really light, and that was my first instrument.
Well, Lyons, isn't he in your town? Isn't he somebody you knew that made the clarinet? How did you happen to hook up with him on that?
Well, he was my first teacher, and he got me started on the clarinet because Mom went down there and said, my son wants to play the clarinet, what should I do? And Dave Johnston, he gave me one of these clarinets, and I completely fell in love with it, and I just carried on.
What is it about the clarinet that so intrigued you and attracted you to want him to play it?
I just loved the sound it made, and it was so mellow, and I just loved it, and I like to make my audiences feel happy when I go on stage. I love playing and really getting into the music, and I also like it, as anybody would, when the audience likes it as well.
Do you play any other instruments?
Yes, I play the piano, and I'm studying here with Evelyn Brenkart, and I love the piano as well, but I love the clarinet as more than the piano, and that's my main instrument.
Do you practice on the piano the accompaniments to the pieces you're going to be playing on the clarinet at any time?
No, but I do look over them and see where the piano has the tune and where the piano hands over the tune to me and where I hand over the tune to the piano and those things like that. And a musician has to really know the piano part to their pieces, so that they can really know how to integrate with the pianist.
You're from England. I think we're going to come up with that conclusion fairly quickly. Where in England?
Well, I live in Harpenden, which is in Hertfordshire. It's very near St. Albans, and it's about nearly a one-hour drive to London, so it is quite nearly in the middle of it all. It's not very far to go up to London.
Yeah, it's about due north of London, as I recall.
Yes. Yeah.
Between Luton and St. Albans.
Yes, in between those two. It's a very small town, a very nice countryside, and we have a nice house. We have 6 cats and 1 horse.
How have they supported your passion for playing this instrument?
They have supported it greatly. My mom, I'm very, very grateful to her because she has, whenever I say to her, like I did, Mom, I've got this offer and I really want to go will you come with me? And she said yes, and I think she's always behind me, helping me as I go, and I'm really grateful to her.
Well, why don't we take this opportunity now to listen to you play?
Okay.
And what piece would you like to introduce your playing to us with?
The Behrman Adagio, which is from the quintet.
It's Opus 23, I believe?
Opus 23, yes.
It's Heinrich Behrman.
Heinrich Behrman.
Who's your accompanist?
My accompanist is Julien Quintan.
Well,
he is a French pianist, as you might know. And he's really nice, and I've worked with him, and I will be working with him next semester, and we just get along so well.
Oh, that's fun. Why don't we listen to it?
Okay.
We have just heard the Adagio movement of the Heinrich Behrman Quintet Opus 23 with our guest Julien Bliss on clarinet with his accompanist Julien Quintan. I understand you're also taking conducting classes.
Yes, I am. At the moment, I'm conducting Beethoven's First Symphony, and I'm on the fourth movement. And then after that, we will be doing Rossini's Overture to Cinderella. And that will be really fun. I really enjoy conducting class.
Is this just does this help you, again, like your piano playing, with your clarinet solo work, to see what an orchestra is playing when you're doing like the Mozart or the Finzi or something?
Yes, it does help you. And also, any musician should have that skill, and so, in case they have to get up and conduct something one day. And I hope I will conduct something in a concert one day.
You're a 12-year-old kid, if I might use that. I have one of those at home, so I understand. But you're going to school, too, besides coming to the music school.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about a typical day that you go through?
Well, I normally get up at around 6 o'clock. I eat breakfast, and then after breakfast, I'll go on the bus, and I'll go down to the practice rooms and be there by 7. And then I'll do some clarinet practice or piano. And then on Monday, Wednesday and Fridays, I have conducting class from 8 until 9. But on Tuesdays, I have a lesson with Mr. Clue from 7:30 until 9. So then after that, I have some practice time, which I go back and I do some more clarinet or piano. And then I go to school at 10 o'clock, and then I come back from school, or I get out of school at 2 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock I come down here, and 2:30 I have wind ensemble, and that goes until 3:45 or 3:45, and then sometimes at 4 on Mondays I have a piano lesson at 4 until 5, and on Wednesday at 4:30 until 6, I have a lesson. So, and then it's basically like that for the whole week.
That's a pretty full day. Now, when you say you go to school, where is that? Not IU, but where you go to regular school?
I go to the St. Charles School. It is just up the road from IU Music School. It is on the corner of 3rd and High, and I love it there. It's really nice.
Have they been supportive of you on this sort of strange adventure that you do here?
Yes, they have been really supportive, and I'm really grateful for that, because in England they wouldn't let me come out of school to do certain musical things. And here, last year, I was coming in at 8 o'clock, then leaving at 12:10. Now this year, I'm coming in at 10 o'clock and leaving at 2. So they are really nice about what I do.
Now, do you do any music there?
No, I leave before they have band or choir.
Well, what are your favorite subjects, then, outside of music?
Well, my favorite subject is science, and my worst subject is math. I absolutely hate math.
I would think, though, that it would be helpful in music because of all the rhythms and times.
Yes, and I just don't know why math doesn't catch on to me, and it's just not one of my best subjects.
You're taking lessons from Howard Klug.
Yes.
How did you discover him, or how did he discover you? What's the story behind that?
Well, he was giving a masterclass at Wells Cathedral School in Somerset, and that's quite a way from London. And I went there, and I was asked there by the clarinet professor who was teaching there. And it was mostly just for Wells Cathedral School students. But he asked if I would come in and play for this professor. So I came in and I played for him, and afterwards Mr. Klug says, you know, you really should have come out to Indiana one time. And I loved his teaching so much that, and I liked him, that I had another class with him, or a private lesson with him, at the Royal College of Music in London. And after that, we heard from him, and he said that he would like me to come and study with him at IU.
Well, then, that was quite an adventure. How have you managed to get over here, and how has that worked?
Well, the IU Foundation have been really, really supportive of me. They've given me a grant, and that, I think if I didn't have that, I couldn't afford to be here, because it's pretty expensive.
Are you here alone?
No, I'm here with my mother. She lives with me in an apartment. And every so often, Mum would go home to see her husband. And I normally come home in every break. So, like, Christmas break, spring break, I would go home. Summer, of course.
Do you have any brothers or sisters? Or besides
yes.
The six cats and the horse?
I have two brothers. One of them is called Adrian. He is 10, coming on 11. He is 11 on December the 6th. And my older brother, he's 19. His name is Luke. And his birthday is on sometime in July.
And your dad is staying in England, keeping a business going, or?
Yes. He owns a motorcycle shop in Luton. So he has to look after the cats, look after the horse, look after Adrian, or kind of look after Luke, and look after his business and look after the house. So he is having a long time, and I think he's just learning how to work the washing machine.
Well, do you miss him?
Yes, I miss him a great deal, because every Sunday, me and my dad, in the afternoon, we would go out somewhere, fishing, walking, bird watching or something, and I loved doing that. And sometimes in the week, he would take a little bit of time off work, and we would go out fishing, and that I just loved that, and he's a great dad.
Oh, that's too bad that you miss him, but what an opportunity you have here.
Yes, yes. I think I will finish my course here, then I will probably go back to England, and who knows what I will do.
Yeah. Why don't we hear some more music with you playing?
Okay.
And you had some Ludwig Spohr?
Yes.
And what is that from?
Well, it is the whole piece. It's just one piece. It is variations on a theme of Danzy, and is quite fast, and I loved playing that. And again, it is with Julien Quinton.
Well, let's hear it.
Thank you.
We have just heard The Fantasy and Variations on a Theme of Donizetti by Ludwig Spohr. It's his Opus 81, played by our guest today, Julian Bliss. Now, Julian's been squirming over here in his chair. He wants to tell us a cat story. There's six of them, so there must be several stories.
Every single morning, my brother will normally get up before my dad, and he'll go downstairs and he'll make some breakfast or watch the telly. And our cats, the two that live inside, always are begging for food, because always, and they're still kittens. And so what one of them does is called Topaz. She runs upstairs and she jumps on my dad's chest and just starts meowing until dad strokes her. And if he still doesn't get up, she'll like walk on his face and sit on his face until he gets up. And then when he gets up, they're all meowing and they're just going crazy over the food. But one morning when Adrian got up, my brother got up before my dad, he went downstairs and he went to get some milk, because he likes to drink milk, and he put it on the table, and then he went to get his breakfast, and both of the cats jumped up onto the table, knocked the glass over and started licking the milk up, and my dad was woken up by my brother shouting, "You bad cats!" And they're always doing cheeky things, and they love ham. They just go crazy with ham. If you get some ham out the fridge, the refrigerator, for a sandwich, they'll just go crazy. And my brother, Adrian, was getting some ham. And they were begging at his feet, and he held it up high. And one of the cats, Topaz again, just ran up him and hung onto his chest and took the piece of ham and just ran off. So they are pretty cheeky cats we've got. But that's the nature of them. They're really, yes. They've got a great sense of humour. They're Bengal leopard cats, and I love them.
You've had the opportunity to play for royalty.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and who it was you played for?
Well, the first time I played for royalty, it was for Prince Philip, and I think I was about 5 at the time, and I went to play at a dinner, and John Ratcliffe, who is the main person who makes the elevators for the back of trucks. I was so small, so everyone couldn't see me, so he made an elevator for me that just took me up about 5 feet. So I was standing on this, and then he had the little remote control. And after the concert, I was waiting out there. We had just had dinner. I was waiting, and Prince Philip was sitting at his table, and I just decided that I was going to walk up and sit on his lap. So I just walked up there, and all the bodyguards were going crazy, thinking, oh no, what's he going to do, or something like that. And I just went up to him, and I just sat on his knee and just watched the rest of the concert.
And you sat on the royal lap, right?
Yeah, you could call it that.
Anybody else besides Prince Philip that you've played for?
I have played for Prince Charles 3 times. One time was in the Covent Garden Opera House. Another time was at the Purcell School. And the other time was at Windsor Castle.
Well, that's quite a list of accomplishments. Any concerts you're doing around here that we have a chance to hear you?
Well, this is in the United States, but it's not in Bloomington. I'm playing a concerto, the Weber Second Concerto, in Philadelphia, in 3 weeks' time for the concert artists competition. And I got through to the finals. And now there's 4 people. And there's a cellist, 2 pianists, and me playing. So we'll get up there and we play our concertos with the concert artist orchestra. And then all the orchestra members and all the audience have a little ballot, and so does the conductor, and they fill out, and that's based on who wins. I'm not really going so I can win, but it would be great if I did. I'm going because it's a great performing opportunity for me.
Are all the other participants your age? Are you the youngest?
Well, one of the cellists, he's 15, and then the 2 pianists are adults.
Do you find this happens a lot, that you're the youngest one playing?
Sometimes.
Who are your favorite clarinetists, or who are the ones you try to emulate that help bring music to life for you?
Well, I don't really try to copy anybody, but I have two or three of my favorite players. Sabina Meyer, she's a German clarinetist, and Michael Collins, who is an English clarinetist. They're my two favorites, and also, of course, Mr. Krug. I like studying with him.
Well, both Michael Collins and Sabina Meyer started off their careers relatively young, too, didn't they?
I think so.
What composers, what concertos are important to you?
Well, of course, a Mozart clarinet concerto. That is just, I could say, the theme song for the clarinet, but it's not really a song. Of course, that's the most famous clarinet concerto that there is. But I also love Gerald Finzi, who is an English composer. And I love his clarinet concerto and the five bagatelles, which I have here. And I've played them for Christopher Finzi. And ever since I was studying with Michael Collins for about a couple of months, I was playing some Finzi with him. And he started telling me about the house. And so I decided that I would find out Mr. Christopher Finzi's address, who is the son of Gerald Finzi. So I found out his address and I wrote a letter to him, basically saying that my passion was the clarinet and I love Gerald Finzi, and could I possibly see him one time? So I went to his house after writing many, many more letters. We were returning letters. And I went to his house and we had the tour around of Gerald's room, which has remained untouched, but people go in there, but it hasn't been refurbished or anything. And the only thing is the piano has been moved downstairs. And we had the tour of the whole house, and then I played for them one of the bagatelles, and I said that I would play one of the bagatelles if only if I could come back another time to play the rest of them. And so after that, we just carried on writing and writing, and I went down to his house more and more, and now we're great, great friends.
That's terrific. Do we have a recording of the bagatelles, or at least one of them we can listen to?
Yes, we do.
And whose recording of it is it?
I have an English clarinetist, which I also admire very much, Thea King.
We have just heard Furlana from the Five Bagatelles by Gerald Finzi, played by Thea King clarinet and Clifford Benson piano, a special selection that our guest Julian Bliss has played for the son of the composer in his home with his piano.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
What other English composers have speak to you, or is it just Finzi?
Well, Vaughan Williams, who was a great friend of Gerald Finzi. I love his music, even though he didn't write much for the clarinet. I think he only wrote one or two pieces for it. But I love his works. And, of course, Benjamin Britten, who is another English composer. I like some of his works.
Let's step aside for a minute. I understand you're going to be taking lessons next semester or sometime soon with David Baker. That's moving into a whole new genre of music making, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to be taking jazz improvisation with him next semester, which I know will be fun. Professor Baker is a really nice guy. He's always pleased to see you. If you ever need anything, you can go to his office. He is so kind.
And this is going to be into jazz, but improvisation?
Yes.
Now, is this going to give you any sort of help in maybe writing your own cadenzas for somebody else's clarinet concerto?
It might help me, but I do like jazz, and I like to play it occasionally, but never in concert, just to, like, play around with it. And I think if I can learn more about it, I can probably play better jazz, of course.
You've recently signed with a manager.
Yes.
What is that going to do to your career? How's it going to help you?
Well, they are IMG, which is an organization that have many different branches, and the music branch sign on people, and they, on their management, some people that they have are Joshua Bell, Evelyn Glennie, James Galway.
What does a management bring to your career?
Well, this management will help get concerts for me. And my agent is Nikki Pope. She does play the clarinet. And she knows repertoire. And already I've had offers to play certain types of things, and because she knows the repertoire, she knows what they would like to hear. So she said, "And could he possibly play? And could Julian possibly play Mozart clarinet concerto or something?" And they said that I will probably have my first CD out when I'm about 16, and they said that they would get me about 6 concerts a year, which is good, and then they'll move it up. The more years I'm with them.
And you build a repertoire and technique and so forth like that.
Yes, and then they know what you can play, what you have played, and you basically get to know them. The manager of IMG, I think, Mr. Nicholas Mathias, my mom has been writing to him ever since I was 4, and so she's been giving him updates, photos, articles, and he's been interested ever since I was 4. And recently, he decided that he wanted to sign me on to IMG.
If someone comes to you with a piece that you have not done before, to do that in a concert, either as a solo recital or as with an orchestra, how do you prepare for that piece?
Well, of course, you learn it really slowly, looking at the music, of course. And then, as you get to know it, I start memorizing it, and it takes me a week or less to memorize it. And when I'm memorizing it, I will sometimes play part of the piece through, and then look at the music and see what I've missed, and then go back and play it with music, and then go back and just play it from memory, and that's basically it.
And you learn these with your teacher, Howard Klug?
Yes.
And he helps you interpret where to breathe and things of that nature?
Yes, he does.
When you have a piece in the repertoire, now, is it stuck? I mean, do you have to go back and look at it if you haven't played it for 6 months, or is it?
I can probably play it, but I would need to practice maybe some of the fingerings that I might have forgot. But I probably could play it, but I would need to work on it a little bit more just to get it back under my fingers.
Oh, you're playing a full-size clarinet now?
Yes.
Now, are there the same kind of instrument makers in the clarinet world that have the same kind of aura that you want to have ultimately as an instrument to play? Who are the makers that are the most important?
The biggest makers are probably Buffet. They have many clarinetists playing on their clarinets. And then Selma, which is another big organization. They have factories in France and Paris. And then in England and in Chile and in other places around the world, there are people that make clarinets, and they mostly hand make them. And my first full-size clarinet was a Peter Eaton International, and he lives up in London, just past London. He hand makes all his clarinets, and I like them really. I love them a lot. They're really nice instruments.
Is that the kind you have now?
Yes. And I forgot to mention that I'm also playing on a Luis Rossi. He's down in Chile. I'm playing on one of his B-flat clarinets as well, so I'm mixing between both of them.
Julian, why don't we listen to the Adagio movement from the Clarinet Concerto in A Major by Mozart, the Kirchhoff Listing 622, and that's with Sabina Meyer.
Yes.
And the Staatskapelle Dresden with Hans Vonk. We have just heard the Adagio from the Clarinet Concerto in A Major, Kirchhoff 622, played by Sabina Meyer. It was a selection of our guest today, Julian Bliss. And why is it that the Mozart is so important to clarinet players?
Well, it is probably the most famous clarinet concerto, and everyone knows it and everyone loves it. And I love the movement that we've just heard. I think that's just a beautiful movement.
We've talked about how you learn a piece. We've talked about how you put together a repertoire. If you weren't playing a clarinet, what would you want to do?
I don't know what I would want to do. I mean, my complete passion is in playing the clarinet, and I probably wouldn't find anything else that I wanted to do.
Well, you want to conduct or play the piano, or would you like to do any work in that area? Or is there other recreational activities that you enjoy besides?
Well, I would probably stay in music, still be involved in music, but I would rather play the clarinet.
Julian, this has been a wonderful experience for me. It's been very refreshing to see someone your age who is so excited about performing the music that you love. Why don't we end the interview with the Schumann Adagio and Allegro? And who is it that's playing it?
The person playing it is Frank Lloyd. My older brother, who plays the horn, had some lessons with Frank Lloyd. He is another one of our great friends. We have known him for a couple of years, and he is just amazing at playing the horn.
And this is with piano?
Yes, this is with piano.
You've been listening to Profiles, where we get to meet the person behind the persona. Our guest today has been Julian Bliss, a 12-year-old clarinet player with an extraordinary and unique talent and a normal 12-year-old boy. Julian, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is Bob Willard. Thank you for listening.
The program you just heard was recorded in the studios of WFIU in October of 2001. Christina Kuzmich, producer. The recording engineer and editor was Michael Pazkash. Luann Johnson, research assistant. For WFIU, thanks for listening.